Welcome to the deep dive, where we take a stack of notes and turn it into actionable, memorable knowledge. This is our 15th weekly recap, and this one is the big one. We are finally into the CMI playoffs, round one.
And if the regular season was, you know, a carefully planned dinner party, round one just showed up.
How so?
Well, one of the sources put it perfectly. It arrived like a drunk uncle kicking in the door at 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Loud, unforgiving, and immediately ruining someone's season. That's the chaos we need to sort through today.
Right. Our listener, the learner, sent over all the results from their CMI, that's Championship Management Invitational, for anyone new. And our mission today is pretty clear. We're hunting for momentum.
Exactly. Records don't matter anymore.
We need to figure out who survived those, you know, brutal knife fights, who just completely detonated the scoreboard, and what the key narratives are going into round two.
And we have to look past just the final score.
Yeah.
Playoff math is just, it's so cruel. So we're analyzing the winners, sure, but also the stories behind the losses.
Because the consolation ladder is its own beast.
Oh, it is. It demands structure, shame, and you better believe it demands receipts.
Okay, before we dive into all that mayhem, just a quick word from today's sponsor. Mozart yogurt. They are turning the classic notes of Mozart's masterpieces into a creamy mouthful worthy of a standing ovation. You can find it in stores today.
A standing ovation for yogurt. I like that.
That's the kind of peak performance we're talking about today.
It absolutely is.
All right, let's get into it. The winner's bracket. We have to start with the match that the sources all called a proper playoff knife fight.
Yeah, that was Find Yourself a CD winning against the Justine Johnsons. The final was 140.5 to 130.0.
A 10-point margin. In the playoffs, that feels like it was decided by an inch.
It really was. And CD didn't win with some, you know, one single massive performance. They won with brutally efficient, balanced production across the board.
Sources mentioned a three-headed monster approach.
That's it. Bijan Robinson, Nico Collins, and DeAndre Swift. None of them went for like 40 points. But they were all just consistently good.
Which is so important.
It denies your opponent any vacuum to exploit. And strategically, this win is a huge validation for that blockbuster trade Coach Tim made mid-season.
Ah, the Bijan Robinson and James Cook III swap.
The very one. It was criticized at the time, but look now. It gave CD the firepower they needed to survive this exact kind of pressure.
But let's talk about the Justine Johnsons, because they were, and I'm quoting here, absolutely not bad.
Not at all. 130 points is a monster score.
That wins you almost any week in the regular season.
For sure. They got spectacular games from Amon-Ra St. Brown and, ironically, from James Cook III.
So his side of the trade paid off, too.
Oh, yeah. He lit up the scoreboard like a malfunctioning slot machine. But it just wasn't enough.
So if they scored 130, how did they lose? Was it just a failure of depth?
That's it, precisely. Their supporting cast, their flex positions just didn't contribute. So you go home with 130 points, wondering how a 10-point loss can feel like such a, you know, a deep regret.
A perfect example of how even excellence isn't always enough in the playoffs. Okay, so if that was the knife fight, let's move to what the sources called the nuclear event.
Yeah, that would be Homer's Gyros versus the Unluckies.
And the score was 176.5 to 146.5.
This wasn't a matchup, one source said. This was a demonstration.
I mean, a 30-point win in the playoffs, Homer's Gyros posted the highest score of the entire round.
And the league group chat apparently went real quiet, real fast.
That's when you know it's serious.
That is the universal sign of existential dread, 176.5. That score immediately establishes Homer's Gyros as the team to beat. They are a serious championship threat.
So where did that explosion come from?
Well, Trey McBride and Trevor Etienne Jr. were great, but the key was T. Henderson.
Right.
He provided a 37-point nuclear event that turned this into a mercy situation by Sunday night. That kind of score from a non-quarterback is just, it's a game-breaker.
Okay, but I have to push back a little here. A score that high, isn't that a sign of fragility?
How do you mean?
I mean, they just burned their best possible performance in round one. Did the Gyros just peak too early? Did they use up all their luck?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Is this repeatable, or was it a statistical anomaly? But if you look at their roster, even without Henderson's spike, they still scored 139 points.
Which is still a winning score.
Exactly. It shows they have a high floor, not just a ridiculously high ceiling.
And we have to give credit to the Unluckies. They fought hard. 146.5 is a great score.
It's an amazing score. They deserve to win. Josh Allen, Kyren Williams, the Bears DST. I mean, they all showed up.
So they just ran into a buzzsaw.
The source said they ran into a monster truck full of gasoline and bad intentions. They lost despite an elite performance, which is just the most heartbreaking way to go out.
So now we have our two winners moving on, the surgical survivor, CD, and the nuclear option, Homer Gyros. Let's set the stage for the semifinals.
Okay, round two. This is NFL Week 16, and the stage is set for a classic confrontation.
Which?
Momentum versus rest. Both of our round one winners are lower seeds, and they're going up against top seeds who were on a bye.
So give us the breakdown. Matchup one.
That's goody. Find yourself a CD, fresh off that knife fight, against the number one overall seed, Ragtag Misfits.
So CD is coming in hot.
Red hot. And they're trying to prove that regular season dominance means nothing now. The Misfits have to shake off that bye week rust immediately.
And the second semifinal. Yeah. This is the one everyone's watching.
This is where the championship favorite could be decided. It's Homer's Gyros, all 176.5 points of them, against the number two seed, Halftime Hummers.
The Hummers were so consistent all season, high floor guys, reliable week after week.
And that's the fascinating contrast, isn't it? Explosive variance versus structural consistency.
If the Gyros repeat even, like 90% of that performance, the Hummers are in deep trouble.
But if they regress back to the mean, the Hummers' dependable lineup could just grind them down. It's probably the most important matchup of the playoffs so far.
Okay, and what about the losers from that bracket? The Jesting Johnsons and the Unluckies.
They drop down into the upper consolation ladder, and they actually face each other this week.
That should be a great match.
It should be really competitive. They both scored so well in round one, they didn't collapse. They just got unlucky. So now they're playing for pride and, you know, for better draft position next year.
All right, let's shift from the glory of the winner's bracket to, well, the grim business of the lower bracket.
The consolation ladder, where we track the structure, the shame, and the receipts.
And we saw a bit of everything down here. Let's start with the low-scoring slugfest.
That was Kurtz Vance, RP, beating a Ginty Man and a Scholar, 91.0 to 70.5.
Oof.
Yeah, the source material was brutal on this one. It was described as two raccoons fighting over a half-eaten bagel.
Wow. A win with 91 points in the playoffs. It's not something you brag about.
No, Earth Wentz advanced, as they said, not proudly, but effectively. They got just enough from Puka Nacua and Christian McCaffrey to get by.
But 70 points for Janty Man, that's a total collapse.
It really is. It signals that the team either gave up or was just destroyed by injuries.
Mm.
A total failure to manage the bench or the waiver wire late in the season.
Okay, next up was the tense finish.
Not today. Seton beating Fred Durst, 104.5 to 100.0.
Fewer than 5 points, decided by inches.
Yep. The kind of loss that just eats at you all off season. Fred Durst's respectable effort was undone by a, quote, relatively mortal outing from Patrick Mahomes.
A 4.5 point loss comes down to a single decision, usually.
Always. A kicker, a defense, something small. Mm-hmm. James Williams and George Kittle did just enough for Satan to squeak by.
And that brings us to the moment of pure, unfiltered shame.
You mean the public execution?
I do. Jackalope Society over Ham Stroker's Ejacula, 132.0 to 66.0.
They literally doubled them up. I mean, when you see a score of 66 in the playoffs, you have to wonder if it was intentional tanking or just complete roster devastation.
Either way, Jackalope Society showed no mercy.
None. Brock Purdy, Tracy Jr., Tony Pollard, they just piled it on. That 132 points makes them the clear favorite in the consolation ladder now.
And for Hamstroker's Ejacula.
That score is a historical receipt. The sources guarantee it'll be referenced mockingly for years. Getting doubled up is a permanent stain on your reputation in a league like this.
Okay, let's zoom out. Big picture takeaways from round one. What's the new hierarchy?
I see three things. First, Homer's Gyros is now, without a doubt, the most dangerous team in the entire field.
Period.
Period. Second, the key narrative for the semifinals is that challenge for the top seeds, Ragtag and the Hummers. They are facing opponents who have real momentum.
Momentum versus rest, the classic playoff story.
Exactly. And third, down the consolation ladder, Jackalope Society is clearly the strongest team left. They prove they can still put up an elite score.
All right, let's quickly run through the consolation matchups for round two, where it's all about draft position. We've got Not Today, Satan versus Ertz Fence IP, Jackalope Society versus a Janty Man and a Scholar, and then the battle for the basement, Hamstroker's Ejacula versus Fred Durst.
And every point there matters. If Fred Durst wins, they not only avoid last place, but they inflict maximum damage on their opponent's draft position. That strategy.
So we've seen it all. The tightest possible wins, like CD by 10 and Satan by 4.5.
And the most massive demonstration of power with Homer's gyros in that 176.5.
The round one sources have given us a really clear, if sometimes painful, picture of who's on the rise and who's just screaming into the void.
And that leads us to our final thought. The scores this week were so spread out from 176 down to 66. It was extreme. And it raises an important question for you, the learner. In a competition this volatile, does the momentum a team like CD or Homer's Gyros just gained, does that actually overcome the advantage of a rested top seed?
Or does the chaos of the playoffs just punish the teams that peaked a week too early?
Is it better to be lucky or to be strategically prepared, something to mull over?
That's our deep dive into the first round of the CMI playoffs. We hope this gives you that shortcut to being well-informed. We'll catch you next week.